WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. ordering an immediate halt to the planned firings of nearly 1,500 employees at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Judge Amy Berman Jackson also ordering the Trump administration to hand over communications and make officials available to determine if they deliberately violated one of her court orders. The U.S. military carrying out operations targeting Houthi oil ports in Yemen. ABC's Louis Martinez has more from the Pentagon.
This is a very interesting strike because this is the first time that the United States has actually gone after some of the oil product areas of Yemen controlled by the Houthis. And what's most notable about this area is that this was an area where the Houthis actually received processed fuel so that they could then use it for their commercial as well as the military operations.
At the Vatican, services taking place at St. Peter's Basilica for Good Friday. Pope Francis, who is still recovering from pneumonia, not leading Easter week services. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Aspen Institute, a global nonprofit organization whose purpose is to ignite human potential to build understanding and create new possibilities for a better world, has announced that Southwest Wisconsin Technical College, one of 16 colleges in the Wisconsin Technical College system, is the winner of the 2025 Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence, the nation's signature recognition for high achievement and performance among America's community colleges. Aspen Prize winner Southwest Wisconsin Tech stands out for its strong completion rates, including for lower-income students, and exceptional wage outcomes for graduates. 5 years after completion, graduates earn nearly $14,000 more than the average new hire in the region. The college exceeds the national average for community college graduation rate by nearly 20 percentage points. Southwest Wisconsin Tech is aiming even higher, working to raise its already impressive 54% graduation rate to 70% through multiple strategies, including ensuring that every student develops a career-aligned student success plan and has the support in place to complete their program. A culture of continuous improvement is deeply embedded at Southwest Wisconsin Tech. Faculty regularly assess student learning outcomes and adjust instruction to ensure better results each semester. Guided by a mission to never graduate anyone into poverty, Southwest Tech has restructured or replaced programs to align with living wage careers, demonstrating how a rural college with a modest budget can implement college-wide reforms that deliver outstanding results. As the winner of the 2025 Aspen Prize, Southwest Tech will receive $700,000 of the $1 million prize purse.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks head to Indy. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA playoffs game one. The Pacers host the Bucks tomorrow at noon. Damian Lillard back at practice. Just 4 weeks after being diagnosed with a blood clot in his right leg. How did he look? Head coach Doc Rivers.
You know, we didn't go a lot live today, but he was in practice throughout practice today. You know, now we just got to see where he's at physically.
Baseball, the Brewers opening a three-game series tonight against the A's at American Family Field. The NFL draft coming up next week in Green Bay. How's the Packers roster? Mark Murphy.
You know, it takes a while for young players, even really talented ones, to really figure out the NFL. And usually by their third, fourth year, they're really, you know, really understand the game. And I know Brian, I think, has made some comments about we need to start competing for championships. And, you know, we're the Green Bay Packers. We, you know, it's all about winning championships.
That's Packers President Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
More clouds than sunshine today. A bit breezy and staying mild, with high temperatures making it to the mid-60s. Scattered showers and rumbles of thunder this afternoon ease up late tonight. And tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny and cooler with highs in the upper 50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, we're going to play a little Which Whopper's Worst. And I'm not talking about burgers. Which lie of the week is the worst lie? Tune in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 past the hour, 12 noon on TGIF Friday, April 18th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here at the end of the week. Cloudy skies right now at the world headquarters in downtown Madison, Wisconsin, of Civic Media. Yes, I'm going across the median. No, the media. That's our company, Zommers. Happy Friday to you. Were you aroused? Not aroused. What's the right word? Awoken by maybe you were aroused too by the thunderstorms this morning.
I would say I was roused. I would not say I was aroused.
Got it. All right. Very good. Same with me. And in all seriousness, some pretty severe storms rolled through south central Wisconsin and over into southeast Wisconsin. And reports all across the, not maybe just south of Madison, Stoughton, Evansville area, over towards Whitewater a little bit. Golf ball size hail. And in some cases, almost like a baseball size hail. Saw some video this morning on Channel 3000, or Channel 3, actually, the local CBS affiliate, of windshields. People driving to work, pulling over, and their windshields were cracked as they were driving to work because of the size of this hail, along with some heavy rains and some wind. I know also our listeners over the Waukesha area were experiencing some very heavy kind of flash floods as well. So just be careful if you're out there on the roadways in south central or southeast Wisconsin. You may encounter some areas where some of that storm damage is still in effect. Looks like we could have another round of severe weather rolling through this afternoon into tonight for some parts of the state. Again, kind of roughly Madison over to the Milwaukee area, greater area. So that kind of south central to southwest Wisconsin as a front moves through. So be aware, weather aware, keep it tuned to your favorite weather source for information on the weather, because these things can change quickly. But hopefully everybody is okay. But yeah, it was some pretty loud claps of thunder zombers this morning. Kind of, ooh, you know.
A little bit, yeah.
Wakes you up, that's for sure, along with the morning coffee. Lots to get to today. Big show for a Friday in hour number two. I cannot wait for this, because there are some people we've had on the program that you just say, wow. I mean, these people are just, you can sit and listen to them all day long. And Doug Moe, for my money, is one of those people. He is a great author and columnist, wrote for the Capital Times for a long time, written for the Madison Magazine, amongst others. Well-published author, great guy, a Madisonian, knows Wisconsin, and he has written a new book called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats. You think, well, that's, you got my attention, right? It's a fact. I'm not all the way through it, but they were so kind as to send me some of it, and it's a fascinating read. And what I love about it is that it is all Wisconsin because it's attached, there's a story of this biochemist here from UW-Madison who basically discovered warfarin. And if you're, well, what? That's rat poison. So, I mean, it obviously made a big difference in keeping places clean and rodent-free, but in small doses, like my maternal grandmother, may she rest in peace, she was kept alive for a long time by warfarin because they use it to thin your blood in people that have heart conditions.
It is a, and it saved so many lives.
Yeah.
As a pharmacy tech, when I used to do that, they're trying to phase out warfarin because, you know, it's used as rat poison. Right. It might be more dangerous than some other, but it is still so life-saving and it is so cheap because it was discovered and made easily available.
Yeah, it's a fascinating read called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats by Doug Moe. And Doug's going to be here in hour number two in the studio at 1:30 to tell us about this discovery and writing it and a little bit more about the story at large. Also in hour number two, our what's the worst for the day, stale chips or warm beer. Neither one is pleasant. So we'll ask you that in hour number two as well. A little fun along the way. Easter's coming up. Good Friday is today for all of those. Some people may be going to church right now for those that celebrate. I remember growing up in Richland Center, and it was a huge deal. And many of our, and I think some places still do this, but in Richland Center, town of 5,000 people, back in the 70s and 80s, downtown basically would close from noon until 3 because the community all went to, either the Catholics went to their service, their Good Friday service, and then the Protestants would usually do a kind of a community ecumenical service and it would rotate churches year to year. So I know a lot of people still do noon or afternoon church, and if you're on your way to that, we wish you blessings and a good celebration this weekend. I'll be going home to Richland Center for Easter this year, so... These 2 hours are the best part of my day. Wink, wink. No, they are. They are. But this afternoon, I get to play chauffeur for the one, the only Cheryl Baxter, the daughter daughter of Betty Hayes Baxter, the longest running dance teacher in the world. World record holder, Guinness Book of World Record holders. She, of course, Betty and Cheryl were on the show last year, was it, I think?
Yeah, I believe so,
when she set the record. So Cheryl's flying in because we're doing a thing this weekend for Betty. She's going to turn, I think it's okay to say this, 95. 95, and yes, she is still teaching, and her mind is sharp as a tack. So Cheryl's flying in from L.A., and so I'm going to play chauffeur and pick her up this afternoon and go out to beautiful Avoca, Richland Center out there. Are you traveling back to Manitowoc?
I'm not going back to Manitowoc, but I am going to Campbellsport, where my paternal grandmother lives. Where we're celebrating Easter this
deviled
year.
Deviled eggs?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I don't mind paying a couple of bucks extra for deviled eggs.
Oh, me either.
All right, we'll talk more. We've dialed up some Easter fun for you as well later on in the show. But right now it's 13 minutes past the hour 12 noon. Let's take a look at this headline, and we have some introduction music for today's headlines, Amers. Here we go. No, I'm sorry. I wanted the 25. I apologize. That's on me.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find.
This is a great tune, by the way. I love this song.
In the year 3535, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today.
2525, I'm not sure if it'll still be around then, but the Supreme Court of Wisconsin making news. I know Jane Matinere, Greg Bacham, Matinere and Air were talking to our political editor Dan Schaefer about this last on the last show there. But I wanted to kind of pick up on that. This is pretty big news. This is from the Associated Press. Wisconsin governor's creative use. By the way, this is by the great reporter, writer Scott Bauer at the Associated Press. Wisconsin governor's creative use of his uniquely powerful veto will lock in a school funding increase for 400 years. This is real. And it may be an attention grabbing, but it was constitutional, according to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. In a 4-3 ruling this morning from the liberal-controlled court, they affirmed the partial veto power of Wisconsin governors, which is the broadest of any state. Both Republicans and Democrats have used the partial veto to reshape spending bills passed by the legislature. Wisconsin is the only state where governors can partially veto spending bills by striking words, numbers, and punctuation to create meaning or spending amounts. In most cases, governors can only eliminate or reduce spending amounts. They did the legislature, but stepping away from the story for a minute, they did the legislature curtail the governor's veto power a few years ago when I think it was Tommy was still governor, and they called it the Vanna White veto. Because it used to be when Tommy was governor, he could take words and just choose whatever letters out of words he wanted to make up new words. It was called the Vanna White veto because, you know, it's Wheel of Fortune, you turn around letter by letter. And so they said, no, you can't do the Vanna White. You have to either take the whole word or nothing, but you can select striking numbers, punctuation, and things like that. So back to the story now, the Associated Press. Democratic governor told lawmakers at the time that changing the 2025 budget to 2425 in the budget was meant to increase school districts' funding into perpetuity. So you see what he did? It basically said it took different numbers, and instead of saying through the 2025 budget, he made it the 2425 budget. Extended it 400 years. Not bad if you can do it. And he did. Goes on to say Evers in a 2023 issued a partial veto that increased how much the revenue K-12 public schools can raise per student by $325 a year. Evers took language that originally applied the increase for the, follow me now on this, originally it said 2023-2024 and 2024-2025 school year. And instead that he vetoed the 20 and the hyphen to make the end date 2425, more than four centuries from now. I mean, I give him props. It was damn creative. And as Glenn Grothman once said to me, well, you know, we'd do it if we had the chance as well. The legislature, along with the state's largest business lobbying group, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, argued that Evers' veto was barred. And here we go. Under a 1990 constitutional amendment adopted by voters, the amendment removed the ability to strike individual letters to make new words, known as the Vanna White veto, named after the co-host of the game show Wheel of Fortune, who flips letters to reveal word phrases. Finding otherwise would give governors unlimited power to alter numbers in a budget, they argued. But Evers countered that the Vanna White veto ban applies only to striking individual letters to create new words, not vetoing digits to create new numbers. So he helped education. Under the law, it goes to the Supreme Court, and they said, yeah, you can do that. Was it really the smartest choice? We'll come back and discuss it. Your phone calls as well, 855-752-4842. The governor going on into 2025. Back after this.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show for a Friday, April 18th, 2025. Glad to have you along. 21 past 12. Zommer's on the board talking about this breaking news today. Wisconsin Supreme Court on a 4-3 decision. Liberals voting yes, conservatives voting no. They confirmed or affirmed the partial veto power of Wisconsin governors. I think it's important to note this is not just for Governor Evers. This now pertains to all governors moving forward in the future. And again, to set this up, in the last budget in 2023,
What's going on here?
It's the sinus. See, I'm glad it rained this morning because the pollen's back and I got sinus stuff anyway. I apologize. Evers in 2023 issued a partial veto that increased how much revenue K-12 public schools could raise per student by $325 a year. So I think the impetus of this is really important. Evers took this action because Republicans who control the legislature were sticking it to public schools in Wisconsin and forcing, and think about this, how many communities do we know? Probably what are yours? They had to go to referendum just not to build a building, not to do anything, just to keep the lights on. Because Republicans in the legislature are not keeping the promise that Tommy Thompson made, Republican governor, and the legislature at the time to fund 2/3 of public education. They have backed off on that for years, and now they're trying to get their close back to where it was, but it's not taking in the additional dollars that special needs kids have and the added cost for local school districts. So the Republicans slashed funding, even though they technically kind of raised it. It wasn't where it should be, so that you don't have all these referendums locally. And so Evers said, all right, well, I'll help out the local folks a little bit. I'll put in the budget that we're going to increase the per pupil rate by $325 a year, the state cost. And the legislature said, okay, we'll do that for a year. And they passed it. And then it got to Evers' desk. And the way the legislature wrote it, Evers and his team figured out that if they vetoed individual numbers and dashes, they could make it not just a one-year increase, but a 400-year increase. And that every year for 400 years, you'd have to raise the per pupil cost by $325. Again, which in the scope of things isn't really very much. But it's a little bit to help out local education. And to be clear, I don't have a problem with that part. It's not, I absolutely believe that we should be putting more of our state. We have a $4 billion plus state surplus right now. We can afford to put more money into K-12 schools so we don't have all these local referendums. But, and the Supreme Court today found that this was a constitutional action. It was legal what Governor Evers did. I don't disagree with that. And again, when the Republicans do it, that kind of, I'll call it a shenanigan, if they were able to, sure. But do I think he should have done it, Evers? Do I think the Supreme Court, and again, I mean, I'm no lawyer here, maybe by the law, and if that's the way the law is written, then the Supreme Court did the right thing. But I just don't think it's a good look. And it goes back to my friend Jonathan, who coined the phrase, I care, but not enough to do anything about it, which we talked about yesterday. One of his other phrases in the Trump era is, nothing matters. Every time something spectacularly crazy happens in politics, we'll text each other. I'll say, what about this? And Jonathan's wife, Alice, will be, what about this? He sits there calm, cool, collected, and just says, nothing matters. And I think this is an indication, and obviously I'm exaggerating a little bit for dramatic effect. But it's another example in Wisconsin politics where not a whole lot matters. It's who's ever in control and has the power, and they're going to use that power to their benefit as best they can. And in the case of what's happening in D.C. right now, I wish Democrats and at least some Republicans would use their power more to head off what I think is a constitutional crisis in D.C., and we'll get to more of that in a minute. But I'm not so sure this, I mean, this is just kind of, to me, it's just hokey. It's like, wink and a nod, we got you good. Well, wait until there's a Republican governor. And they're going to do the same type of thing on the other side, in my opinion. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, happy TGIF. What say you?
Yeah, well, every time I hear that line, nothing really matters, I think of Night of the Opera, because that's a line from that song, nothing really matters right. To me. That, but it, in, you know, for the Republicans to be claiming about little games being played, let's remember the little game that Scott Walker played back in 2011. As soon as he came into office, he blew a hole in a budget that was projected to have a surplus as of June 30th of 2011. Said, no, we have to have Act 10 now, and we can get rid of the, you know, to handle the budget crisis that he caused by his, I think it was a tax break, we can get rid of the unions. So that's the impetus for Act 10, if I remember correctly. It is a little and the little games they played, you know, the old with Scott Walker on his way out the door, the big old middle finger to Jim Doyle and Josh Call with the whole lame duck legislation that the Republicans happily went along with and that produced it for Scott Walker to disempower the governor's office so that and the attorney general's office that politics is, you know, sometimes it's a game and, you know, perhaps he shouldn't have done it, but
I'm not here to abdicate or to not abdicate, to defend the Republicans at all. You're 100% right with everything you said. And I think those actions were not right either. But I just, you know, you hear from Democrats a lot when all those things happen. Well, we have to have ethics and morality and character in government. And here, you know, again, I think it was for a good cause to help public education. I just didn't like the way that he did it. Does that make sense? Is Mark still there? All right, Mark, we got to go to break. All right, sorry, Mark. We'll come back if you're still around and get you on the other side. Talk more about this. 855-752-4842 is the Todd Allball Show. And you're listening to Cross Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Good Friday. Markets are closed for the Easter weekend. Starting June 1st, the federal milk marketing order will price Class 3 milk off of block cheese, not the barrel. But what does that mean on the farm level? Everegg dairy analyst and broker Cody Koster has some insight.
The math that we've done, there could be a significant drop on farm price, anywhere from 50 to about 80 cents a hundredweight, just because they're changing how the formulas are going to react with each other and doing away with the barrel, which people didn't think needed to be in the pricing anymore, I think is going to have a bigger effect on the market than people think. I also believe that it's going to probably cause a lot of volatility higher and lower, because as people try to figure out what that barrel price is and they need to do it off the block, anything is going to be able to go as far as we get into June.
Cody Koster along with us. He's a dairy broker and analyst with Everegg. The new milk pricing structure takes effect June 1st. And as we heard, the experts expect the changes to be reflected in the milk check. I've got more agribusiness news coming your way.
It's still sinking in. All the medals that Bavaria Sausage brought home from the German Butchers Association competition. Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, says they walked away with 49 medals, 30 that were gold, and all the products they submitted, something you can purchase today.
You know, we picked products right out of the freezer, right out of the deli case, right out of our coolers, and that's what we brought. We did not do a special batch of any of this. We didn't know, but we had a feeling that we'd do pretty well with the Germans on this one.
That's Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, capturing 49 medals at the recent German Butcher Association Meat Products Competition, recognizing the quality that started more than 60 years ago with Fred Vohl. Bavaria Sausage. Shop those award-winning meats today at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, or always open online. BavariaSausage.com.
Welcome back on a Good Friday. Markets are closed, but here's an update from rural Wisconsin. There's a group in the state working to bring more doctors to rural communities, and it starts with where medical students get placed for their residency. Lori Rodefeld is the director of the Wisconsin Collaborative for Rural Graduate Medical Education. She says right now they've got 28 rural residency programs, 7 more are in development, and the goal of these programs is to allow med students to build connections and relationships in rural communities so that they're more likely to stay. Another incentive is loan repayment assistance through the collaborative. You can learn more about their work at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
More clouds than sunshine today. A bit breezy and staying mild, with high temperatures making it to the mid-60s. Scattered showers and rumbles of thunder this afternoon ease up late tonight. And tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny and cooler with highs in the upper 50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 68.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight.
Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And wow. He said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days, that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the price of oil with Mr. Global and what that means for consumers. Hour number two, we'll talk about organ donation. I hope you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon of the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Friday, April 18th, 2025. Zomer's on the board. Glad to be with you. Coming up at hour two, an hour from right now, Doug Moe, great author and columnist, will be in studio to talk about his new book called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats. I love the title because it's the story of a UW chemist who discovered, created warfarin, which that was one of the main ways to kill rodents, rats, and mice, particularly on farms for a long, long time. It also, as Zomers points out, cheap and easy way to keep people alive, people with heart conditions, little tiny doses of warfarin.
Since it's a generic medication, it stayed cheap.
It's fantastic. Going to talk with Doug Moe about that. In hour two, also coming up, a chips and beer edition of What's Worse in hour number two. And going to get a little bit to Bob Spindell is back in the news. Now, here's a guy, a fake elector, who causing trouble yesterday. But first, I want to finish up with this story in the Associated Press by Scott Bauer. This morning, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court upheld Governor Tony Evers' actions in the last budget on a 4-3 ruling, which said he was constitutionally in the right, that what he did was legal on the 2023 budget, where he increased K-12 public schools, how much they can raise their per student rate each year, to $325 for 400. The legislature passed it as a 1-year thing. But the way it was written and it came to Evers, he used his legal ability to veto numbers and punctuation and made it 400 years to 2024-25. Legislature and manufacturers and commerce said, not so fast. As Lee Corzo says, we're going to talk about Lee in a minute. So they went to court. Supreme Court said, yes, what Governor Evers did was legal. I don't have a problem with the intent here to get more money to K-12 public schools so we don't have to have all these almost annual referendums now. The Republican legislature is coming up short in properly funding K-12 schools, in my opinion. But the way that he did it with this kind of wink and a nod, oh, look what I can do, I kind of got fancy. Again, it's legal. And in my opinion, the Republicans are going to pull the same kind of tricks moving forward. But Mark in Pertisac was making the point earlier, all the things that Republicans did, trickery in the legislature and politics to kind of screw over Wisconsin taxpayers during Act 10 and the Walker administration. And I agree with that. They did. But Mark, if you're still on the line, I just want to give you a chance because we're up against the break. Do you agree or disagree? I just don't think it's a great look moving forward because I think it takes one of the cards away from Democrats where they would say, look, we don't do those type of things. We do it straight down the middle. We have a higher character than that. And now I think that just takes that card away.
Yeah, you know, perhaps, but I mean, if it's the only card you got, because we have, you know, many members of the legislature, Devin LeMahieu in particular. I mean, the man went to private school, never went to a public school, I believe, and yet he's somebody who makes decisions about public schools because I went to public school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, up in Douglas County, Wisconsin, and that it's. You know, that and they've been chronically underfunded now, our schools, so that if it's the only tool you have, I guess, you know, do you have to use it? Because the legislature was intransigent as far as providing adequate funding for our schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate, but hypocrisy knows no bounds. I mean, now with, you know, it's not really related, but I heard today that the Keystone Pipeline is going through, and they say, well, it's for oil production for the United States. Well,
yeah.
It's got nothing to do with the United States. As I understand it, that's Canadian oil that's coming through the United States and going to a Canadian refinery. So with the ongoing assault on Canada by Donald Trump, it seems ironic to me that they had to rush through the approval of that pipeline for oil that's not going to benefit, really right. benefit the United States.
Got to move on, Mark, but I appreciate you hanging around. Thanks for that. We'll continue to follow it. I'm sure more of our shows will be talking about it. But, yeah, there you go. Supreme Court saying, yes, Governor Evers can get very creative with the veto pen. We'll see what happens moving forward. I want to get to this other story. This is courtesy of WISN Channel 12, ABC affiliate in Milwaukee. Wisconsin election meeting erupts as chair silences commissioner over ballot shortage. The video on this is stunning, by the way. Absolutely stunning. According to WISN Channel 12, a mundane Wisconsin election commission meeting yesterday suddenly took a turn when Republican appointee Bob Spindell brought up Milwaukee's issues with running out of ballots on Election Day in April. Now, let me set this up. Step away from the story. This meeting was set up to discuss Madison because there had been, whatever, 200-some-odd ballots that didn't get counted. It was a clerical mistake. The clerk here in Madison resigned. So it was to deal with that. My understanding is Milwaukee was not even on the agenda, therefore it was non-germane. You can't discuss that. But Bob Spindell, and important to remember here, one of the fake electors from the 2020 election, all right? Bob Spindell decides to get spicy. He says, quote, "There's even a more serious problem in the city of Milwaukee, where Channel 12 has been doing an expo with several long segments on the election commission running out of ballots," Spindell began, before he was interrupted by the commission chair, Ann Jacobs. She hit the gavel and said, "Bob, I am ruling your comment out of order, Bob," as she slammed the gavel repeatedly. Spindell persisted, reading from prepared remarks, probably written at RPW, that were not audible over Jacobs' protests. And she said, I'm reading, I love the fact that this is the verbatim. Quote, "Bob, you need to stop or I'll ask you to leave this meeting. Bob, stop. I'm not going to let you keep going. Bob, Jacobs said. I love the transcription.
L.A. Tom says, Bob Spindell, Brian Schimming, Brian Style, all these BS candidates and officials.
Coming from opposite sides of the political spectrum, Jacobs and Spindell have sparred before, including the 2020 incident over Zoom during the pandemic where Spindell accused Jacobs of trying to, quote unquote, muzzle him. A little S&M. He brought that comment back during their head-to-head Thursday. Quote, "I'm going to talk over you until you stop. You must stop. You are out of order. I will eject you from this meeting," Jacob shouted. Spindell replied, "You're not going to try to muzzle me. Is that right? Muzzle me? Do you understand the words I'm saying? You're out of order." This went back. I mean, it was like grade school kids. There you go. Earlier this week, the City of Milwaukee Election Commission Executive Director Paulina Gutierrez addressed the election day issue when a number of polling sites ran out of ballots. She said Monday that instead of estimating the number of voters when ordering ballots in the future, their new procedure will be to print ballots for every registered voter so they won't risk running out again. It was an honest mistake. And again, there is no reports that anybody didn't get to vote who was in line by 8 o'clock. All the ballots were counted. There is no election fraud. There no campaign or election fraud in Milwaukee or any notable fraud anywhere in Wisconsin. Every court, every judge, from a Republican appointee to a Democratic appointee, there is no fraud. Wisconsin elections are free, fair, safe, and accurate. Period. But this Bob Spindell guy, he's just there making trouble. And this is what my former party loves to do. Stir the pot. Get in there. And how this guy is still on the Wisconsin Election Commission when he was part of the fake electors, which tried to undermine and actually commit election fraud. What we're talking about, of course, is 2020, where during the pandemic, the Republican Andrew Hitt, former chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and Bob Spindell and others met in a room in the Capitol, which they weren't supposed to be in. Scott Fitzgerald, when he was state Senate majority leader, set that up. And they voted for Trump, even though Biden had won the state. They vote, and they had an alternate slate of electors. They gave it to the voter mule, who is U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson was the mule who took these illegal fake elector votes to Washington and tried to hand it to Mike Pence to overthrow an election. And this Bob Spindell guy, he is the one that helped do all this. And not only is he not in jail, he's sitting on the Wisconsin Election Commission. I had dinner with my old friend Kevin O'Connor, my old broadcast partner this week. He's from Chicago originally. And back in college, we used to have this show called Sports Wrap. And we brought a lot of Chicago talk radio, sports talk radio, to the mix. And we had this segment because in Chicago in the 90s or whatever it was, 80s, you could do this. This is Mike Dickett era, by the way. So people would, the most outrageous sports thing of the week in Chicago. And they would call in and they'd rant. And at the end of it, they'd say, who are you blanking? And they'd bleep it out. And so we adapted it to who you crapping. This would be a candidate for the segment, who you crapping. Bob Spindell, who tried to steal an election, gave it to Ron Johnson to steal it in Congress, and only because a modicum of character left in Mike Pence did it not happen. But Bob Spindell is not in jail, and he's still on the Wisconsin Election Commission causing trouble? Come on, Bob Spindell. Who are you crapping? 855-752-4842. Let's go to Joe in Madison. Joe at WMDX. Thanks for calling, Joe. What say you?
I think paired with this situation you were talking about with Governor Evers in the Supreme Court and your concerns that may not have been kind of sportsman and nice of him to do what he did. It's been my experience, Todd, that in today's climate with the Republicans acting the way they do, that nice gets you nowhere. Nice gets you absolutely nowhere. I think that woman who was running the meeting should have said to Mr. Spindell, you're out of order. I told you twice. Third time, because apparently he's a kid and he doesn't understand anything more than one, two, three times that you get, you're out, and he should have been ejected from the meeting. A man who says, I'm going to talk over you. How many times as a woman have I heard those words and seen that behavior, and I am sick of it? And I realize being a nice lady and being nice gets you absolutely nowhere. She should have thrown him out. His behavior was absolutely unacceptable. She was in charge of that meeting. It was her call as to what happened there, and she should have ejected him. She shouldn't have made any attempt to try to reason with him at all. And my concern, Todd, is, you know, at one point, and I'm sure you were just, this is how it struck you. You said, you know, they're like grade school kids going back and forth. What does this woman do besides eject him when this guy acts like such a stinking jerk? They aren't all alike. He was told, as a member of that commission, not leader of that commission, this was out of order. This was not in the agenda. It was not supposed to be talked about. And it's ridiculous. How do you get to just big hog your way in a meeting because you want to and say, I'm going to talk over you? That remark right there should have been enough to get him ejected. That is not nice. And that is not the way that government should work. And I guess I'm at the point where, you know, I don't know whether what Tony did was A-okay or not, but I think good for you. You're making a statement about education, which is into the future, whether Wisconsin is 1,000 years old, we will still value education. And I loved it. And I wish that woman had ejected Bob Spindell from the meeting. As a woman, I have put up with men like this way too much.
I always appreciate your comments, Joe. I don't think we're that far apart. My criticism is at Chair Jacobs. I mean, I think it was just from a public perspective, I think it's just kind of entertaining, if nothing else. But I think she should have just adjourned the meeting right then and there and stopped him because he was clearly out of order. But don't you, well, stay, Joe, don't go anywhere. I want to get your thoughts on the other side. Stay with me.
News from the center, WRCE. If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
It's more than a place to shop. Schrader's Department Store is a 134-year-old cornerstone in the Manitowoc County community of Two Rivers. It's also the oldest, and not just in the state, but the country, still operated by the same family.
I am fourth generation. We've made the store just our own special spot now.
AJ Schrader runs the store with her sister, and like every generation, grew up working there.
My sisters and I were all raised in the department store from little on. I would wait on customers when I was 12. It's just a part of who we are. Our customers are what open the doors every day.
So it's a mix of new and old, including services like tailoring.
It's just a great place to be.
It really is a slice of Wisconsin you won't find anywhere else. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock on Friday, April 18th. Sommer is on the board. Glad to have you along. Talking about the Wisconsin Election Commission meeting yesterday in which member Bob Spindell brought up an issue that he thinks is an issue, Milwaukee voting. It really isn't. But it wasn't on the agenda. The meeting was to deal with the situation in Madison. And Spindell started going down this path, an election denier. And remember, this is the guy who is a fake elector who tried to overthrow Wisconsin elections in 2020. And so he tried to go off course, and Commission Chair Ann Jacobs was gaveling him down. They basically got into a shouting match. And I just thought the spectacle, if anything, was just kind of entertaining to me. As a person who's sat in a lot of meetings at a lot of different levels, I don't fault the chair, Jacobs, for gaveling him down. Spindell, in my opinion, is the guy in the wrong, but I just thought it was entertaining. Joe in Madison, still on the line, WMDX, always great comments. I always appreciate your perspective, Joe. And you were just saying that you thought that the chair, Jacobs, was in the right, and that Bob Spindell said, "I'm just going to keep talking over you," was, rude at best and misogynistic at worst. I don't disagree with that. But I would ask you, too, because I'm always very interested in your perspective. A, I've sat in a lot of meetings in the legislature and city councils, and in my opinion, good chairs, you just kind of, you give the person, say, "Hey, you want your 90 seconds," you just let them hang themselves. I've seen it. Margaret Farrow, former lieutenant governor, former state senator from the Milwaukee area. I saw her do this one time in a meeting. And she just looked at the bozo who was carrying on. She goes, "Are you done?" And then gaveled the meeting out. That was it. And the guy looked like an idiot. But anyway, that's kind of, for me, that's beside the point. I just think Bob Spindell's an idiot. And he's dangerous because he tried to overthrow an election. But to the larger point, Joe, because you're a historian, you know this stuff. I mean, on the Evers stuff or whatever, I mean, can't we, that's fine if we're going to do it this way. But then, can we just say that nothing matters? We don't care if the new way to do things now. I mean, you got Pete Buttigieg out there dropping F-bombs on social media now to get people's attention. Should we just say nothing matters? We don't care if kids start dropping F-bombs in school. There is no decorum. There is because we have everybody just has to yell at each other because that's the only way everything gets done. In my opinion, that's where it all breaks down. But Joe, tell me why I'm wrong.
I don't think you're wrong. I think we just have some points. We have a different point of view on this. And so you were talking about decorum. It was Bob Spindell that was ruining the decorum of that particular meeting.
Agreed.
By saying, I'm going to talk over you. So he was the one who was at fault and not behaving in a respectful manner to the other people in that meeting, not just Ann Jacobs, but the other people. He was wasting their time, the people who were sitting in the meeting, the other people who were part of that commission, so he could big hog, get his face out there. It was shameful. We don't have time for this stuff anymore. And the education and our elections are so important. So I think they're two different points, but I hear you trying to put them in the same place. Whether you can agree with how Evers did this or not, he drew attention to the fact that Republicans were not following up on what they said they were going to do in terms of educating the children of Wisconsin, which is one of our most important, absolutely important things that we do in the state.
Agreed.
And in terms of Ann Jacobs, I don't see why a woman has to, anybody, whether a man or woman, has to sit there and let somebody else blow their mouth out and waste everybody's time just because he's having his little hissy fit. If there were a woman doing that, honest to God, Todd, it would have been, you know, what time of the month is it? Or you overreactional woman, you're not part of the agenda, throw her out. But he gets to get his little time and say, I'm going to talk over you. What a statement. I'm going to talk over you, even though she is the chair. There's got to be somebody in charge. She gave him a chance to talk, and he started talking about Milwaukee, which is not on the agenda. You can't get any clearer than that. She had no other way, and if I were her, I would have embraced the notion, which I am fond of these days, which is nice gets you nowhere. What, you know, you had the example of Margaret Farrell, and, you know, that's great, fine, in that particular place. But we don't have time to waste anymore on stuff like this because it's an assault after assault after assault by Republicans on the rule of law, on the respect for other people, and in getting things done. And it's all right. One part of the piece. The same guy who says, I'm going to talk over you, is the same guy that said, I'm going to get my results in this election, and see, to heck with you. I'm going to do things that are underhanded. It's the same mentality, and it needs to be clipped now. We don't have time for this.
I'm just that.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, and I'm fascinated by this because the lines are lighting up. And I chose this story because I think it's important to Wisconsin elections, because my point is here to show what an idiot Bob Spindell is. That's why I chose the story. And what's ginning people up is one comment about saying that the commission looked like kids yelling back and forth. And people seem to be more concerned about my one comment on the perception of the meeting than my whole point about bringing the story up that, hey, Wisconsin elections are under assault by an election denier. Does that make sense?
Well, I think that it'll be interesting to hear the comments from other people. And the fact that the lines are lighting up says that there's something going on with this issue.
No, absolutely.
It's worth exploring. And I really appreciate it, Todd, that you open up the lines and let people have their say and let us all talk about this. It's so important and valuable. So thanks for the time. I really appreciate it.
Always appreciate you, Joe. Always welcome. 855-752-4842. Got to go fast up against the clock. Susan McFarland, if you can make it brief, Susan, what say you?
Oh, well, I was calling, first of all, in a way, I do agree with Joe about women's voices, because I've been in meetings where my voice was not being heard because I don't speak as loudly as some of the men there. But the other thing, Tony Evers, is actually we are in a situation now in the state where with the way the federal government is working, the state is going to have to fund more of the education. And I don't think it's a matter of it's special ed or regular ed, because I don't make a differentiation. I think all students should get an education that fits them.
Agreed. Thanks, who's up against the clock. Cindy, Peggy, Brian, don't go anywhere. Take your calls after this. As Matt Flynn says, we see you on the lines. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Emerson Lehman, host of the WBAY Morning Show here in Green Bay, into the studio for a pickleball breakdown. And it's a Bar Band Friday night as Terry Barr drops by with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A new legal roadblock in the Trump administration's efforts to deport migrants to countries like El Salvador.
District Judge Brian Murphy on Friday issued an injunction that bars the Trump administration from deporting any non-citizen to a country not explicitly mentioned in their order of removal without first allowing them the chance to raise concerns about their safety. He said the order prevents the irreparable harm of non-citizens being sent to countries where they might face persecution, torture, or death. Peter Harlambous, ABC News.
Another judge today blocking the Trump administration from the mass firings at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and called for more information to see if efforts to lay off employees violated a previous court order. Law enforcement still searching for a motive in yesterday's deadly shooting at Florida State University in Tallahassee. The suspect, police say, not talking. Spring and summer-like temperatures on tap for the East Coast for this Easter weekend. Residents in the Rockies could get snow. This is ABC News.